Chris Howell is our lay reader.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called in one body, and be thankful. The words of Holy Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wonderful job. The Bible often compares the Christian life to putting on clothes. You all wear the beautiful clothes today. So, what's the proper dress code for Christians? In today's scripture, Paul gives us seven characteristics of garments for the clothes we should wear every day. Verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, also gentleness, and patience. First, put on compassion. Compassion comes from two words, come and passion, meaning with passion. Jesus came to this earth by God, who has compassion on human beings living as sinners. And compassion was the main motivation of Jesus' earthly ministry. Second, put on kindness. Albert Schweitzer said that constant kindness can accomplish much. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness causes misunderstanding, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate. And Mark Twain said, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and blind can see. Third, put on humility. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-29, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As followers of Jesus, we should also be humble in every part of our life. Fourth, put on meekness, gentleness. Jesus says that he is gentle, but in our modern society, gentleness is almost a lost commodity. It was used to describe powerful war horses who have been skillfully trained to instantly obey their masters. It's a word which suggests power under complete control. So what was four characteristics? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Good work. Fifth, put on patience. A Sunday school teacher asked her class students to define patience. A one little girl raised the hand and said, "Patience is when you are sitting in church and the preacher is preaching. Then the preacher keeps preaching and you keep sitting there. That's patience." I knew it. Someone's going to say amen. Six, put on forgiveness. Verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." We will take a closer look a little later on forgiveness, which is the heart of my sermon today. Finally, put on love. Dr. David Drescher, who is the pulmonologist on the front line treating COVID-19 patients, said that he was asked by medical students what was the best medicine he had ever seen. He replied, "Love." Wonderful again. They left and then asked, "What if that doesn't work?" Dr. Drescher said, "Increase the dose." So this is time to increase the dose of love for this unbelieving world today. Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Amen. How beautiful would clothes be if they were made out of these seven characteristics. I hope we can all wear these new clothes. With spiritual eyes, I can see that. Let's turn our attention to forgiveness. In the Bible, Jesus taught about forgiveness as much as about love. In fact, the closest word to God's love is forgiveness, because only those who have experienced God's forgiveness can know God's love. When it comes to forgiveness, as well as other six virtues, we must follow the life of Jesus, who lived a life of complete forgiveness on this earth. When Jesus hung on the cross, beaten, naked, bleeding, and in pain, Jesus prayed to God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because of the finished salvation work on the cross, If you turn your heart to God and ask for grace to forgive someone, it'll be given to you, although it may take time. However, when we refuse to forgive someone, it'll be the wound grows within us until it fills all we are. Unforgiveness is destructive. It creates bitterness and resentment. Resentment means to experience again. That's the terminology, the word, the resentment. We relive an experience over and over in our mind. Resentment causes us to cling to the past so that as a result, we are not free. We live in a prison of our own making. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it many become defiled." That is why the Bible emphasizes forgiveness repeatedly for our sake. The word forgiveness comes from the Greek word aphemi, which means to release, to haul away from you, or to let go. This is a hugely important point because most of us think forgiveness is primarily about what we do or what we say. It is quite possible for us to think we forgave someone even while harboring anger and bitterness within. Forgiveness begins in the heart and eventually works its way outward. It's a conscious choice to release others from their sins against you so that you can be set free. It doesn't deny the pain or change the past, but it does break the cycle of bitterness that binds you to the wounds of yesterday. Forgiveness allows you to let go and move on. You can forgive when the other person has done nothing to earn forgiveness because forgiveness is like salvation. It's a gift that is freely given. It cannot be earned. You can forgive and the other person may never even know about it. You can forgive the person who has already died to release the bind created by resentment. Louis Smithes, the author of the book, Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts You Don't Deserve, says that there are three levels of forgiveness. First, we rediscover the humanity of the person who hurt us. That simply means that without diminishing their sin, we admit that they are sinners. Just like we are sinners. Second, We surrender our right to get even. This is hard because it is natural to want someone else to pay for all the pain they caused us. But in the end, we must leave all judgment in the hands of a just and merciful God. Third, we revise our feelings toward the other person. This means giving up our hatred and letting go of our bitterness. One day, Peter asked Jesus how many times we should forgive someone who sins against us. Jesus told him, 70 times 7. Do the math in your head. That is 490 times. Good job again, my beloved. That's a lot of sin and a lot of pain, and that's a whole lot of forgiveness. It seems impossible and definitely impractical, but that's what Jesus said. The process of forgiveness is like peeling an onion. If you think you have forgiven, it suddenly comes out again and again. However, all these processes are possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. You will know you have reached total forgiveness when you are able to ask God to bless those who have hurt you. This is indeed a high standard, so high that without God, it is impossible. That's why Smithis calls forgiveness a miracle. When you forgive someone, you perform a silent miracle that only God sees. And it is the miracle we desperately need these days. It tears down walls and changes not only your life, but the life of the person that you forgive. But we all can admit that it is difficult to forgive someone who hurt us so deeply. We need to have courage to forgive. It takes boldness to release people who have sinned against us. And this courage comes from our Lord. If there were a number of people involved in a hurtful situation, it would be helpful to forgive each of them one by one. In any case, we must totally forgive them, release them, and you will be set free. That is the reason that our Lord taught us to forgive for our freedom. Because without forgiveness, there will not be freedom. Mark Buchanan, in his book, Your God is Too Safe, tells the story about Pastor Yonggi Cho. Have you heard about him? Who is a pastor of the largest church in the world in Korea. Decades ago, as his ministry was becoming international, he told God, Lord, I will go anywhere to preach the gospel, except Japan. He hated the Japanese because of what Japanese troops had done to the Korean people and to members of Pastor Cho's own family. During the 36 years of the occupation of Korea, through a combination of a prolonged inner struggle and several direct and indirect challenges from God, Cho felt called to preach in Japan. He went, but he went with bitterness. The first speaking engagement was to a pastor's conference, 1,000 Japanese pastors. Pastor Cho stood up to speak, and what came out of his mouth was this: I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. And then he broke and wept. He was both brimming and desolate with hatred. At first one, then two, then all 1,000 pastors stood up. One by one, they walked up to Yonggi Cho, knelt at his feet, and asked forgiveness for what they and their people had done to him and Koreans. As this went on, God changed, touched and changed his heart. The Lord put a single message in his heart and mouth that day. I love you. I love you. I love you. As God touched his heart, Pastor Cho repented of his unforgiving heart, and he finally felt free on that day. Dear congregant, forgiveness is not an optional part of the Christian life. It is a necessary part of what it means to be a Christian. If we are going to follow Jesus, we must forgive. We have no other choice, and we must forgive as God has forgiven us. Freely, completely, graciously, and totally. The miracle we have received is a miracle we pass on to others. The truth is that we will forgive to the extent we appreciate how much we have been forgiven. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." The best incentive to forgive is to remember how much God has already forgiven you. Think of how many sins he has covered for you. Think of the punishment you deserved that did not happen to you because of God's grace. Your willingness to forgive is in direct proportion to your remembrance of how much you have been forgiven. Let us close eyes and begin to focus on the Holy Spirit, asking the Spirit to show within where it needs to be healed by letting go of your resentment, if there are any. Let us pray. Ask God to help you be courageous to finally forgive someone or some incidents that have happened to you in the past. Now, as the Spirit leads you, release them. Release them. Let go of them one by one. They no longer need to reside within you. Instead, let God's forgiving grace and love fill you, heal you, and make you whole to move on with your life. Oh Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and lead us to experience your silent miracles here and now. Oh Holy Spirit, touch hearts, touch hearts. No more they are living in the prison. Freedom, release it, release them. You will live your life. May God's kingdom come in our hearts. God's people say, Amen. Amen.